Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Tuesday. We're live in Los Angeles. This show's called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. It is good to have you in today. All sorts of things happening. J.J. Watt yesterday, middle of our show, decided to move his act and his talent to Arizona, and Joy Taylor and I were in the woe stage and the wow stage and didn't see that coming stage. We're so often surprised by where stars go. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a really wild NFL offseason so far. And it actually hasn't really even officially started.
It's amazing how many stars. The transaction business in the NFL, Stafford, J.J. Watt, Carson. I want to talk about this. So there was a story out there yesterday. It was down to Buffalo and Arizona. Two different culture cities, fan bases. And apparently somebody in Buffalo, a reporter, had talked to a former Texans coach, and they criticized J.J. Watt. They said, quote, he's selfish, only cared about his stats. He does a lot of things that hurt the defense. I wouldn't want him. He hurt us sometimes more than he helped us. So what you're saying is he's a little rogue. That's been the knock on Ndamukong Suh for years. He's a little bit of a, you know, doing his own thing, a little bit of a freelancer. For the record, I've heard a little bit of that with J.J. Watt, a little bit. Now, this morning, it's interesting. If I lined up, and this goes along the lines of what, like, the big sports betting companies think, if I looked at the NFC West this morning, I would take the Rams to win the division. They won 10 games last year with Jared Goff. I think Matt Stafford's worth a win. I'd have the Rams winning the NFC West at 11-5. I would have San Francisco, if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, if he's healthy, battling them for second place. I'm selling some of my stock on Seattle, but they have Russell Wilson, so I'd pick them third, and Arizona fourth. Not a shot, but it's the best division in football. So J.J. Watt did not choose the best team in his own division. He didn't choose the best roster in his own division. He didn't choose the best Super Bowl odds in his own division. He picked probably the fourth best coach in a division. Some would argue the fourth best quarterback in his division. He didn't choose an area that was closer to home. Arizona was fourth in sacks last year. He didn't choose a place where he'd have the greatest impact. It may just be this easy. J.J. Watt chose the place that was best for him and his wife, Kalia. And that's it. She's a pro athlete. He's a pro athlete. They don't have to have a second home with warm weather. They can go train in the off season. It's just a good place to play some golf, drink some margaritas in the off season. And he and his wife can train together outdoors in their beautiful house. Matt Stafford, by the way, was on the market. Many suitors. He chose the Rams, which is the toughest division in football. Why, we found out? He liked Los Angeles. He had a home here. He liked the weather. Off seasons are easier. He's kind of worn out from Michigan winters. I mean, he grew up in Texas, played at Georgia. He was tired of the winters. Think about where the stars choose. KD chose Brooklyn. Huh? Kawhi chose the Clippers. Tom Brady chose the Buccaneers. As you age, things that were less important become really important. Think about the final two choices for J.J. Watt. On one shoulder, there's a little Buffalo Bill. Hey, we are a player away from a Super Bowl. You are going to win the division. And on the other side was a little devil, and he was wearing Arizona colors, and he's like, it's Buffalo. You're going to have a second home. Does your wife really want to live in Buffalo? They jump on tables. And it's kind of crazy. Arizona's more laid back. You can golf in the off season. You can golf in the season. Think about the two places that were the final places. He probably felt guilty a little bit for choosing Arizona, so he includes Buffalo, because that was, as Joey and I talked about, that's the place where he can literally, they're going to win their division next year. They feel like they're a pass rush away from the Super Bowl. Tennessee doesn't. Green Bay doesn't necessarily. They already had a pretty good pass rush. So the final two places came down to one place where it made total football sense, and they finished second to the place that didn't make really any football sense. And that's okay. We tend to, in the media, try to figure out what the best place for the athlete is. Hey, he fits the scheme, hey, the division. And LeBron James chose Miami. They weren't good when he got there. And the Lakers, they were terrible when he got there. Both cities for a kid that grew up in Akron, a lot of sex appeal, a lot of fun. You can get free agents to come and play there. We're always trying to figure out where players are going to go. We're almost always wrong. In my gut feeling this morning, and I've moved four different times to different places. I think, Joy, you've moved three or four different times. It's never. You get that yellow notepad out, and I guarantee you J.J. Watt did with his wife, Kalia, and they wrote down stuff, and we'd be wrong in all the guesses. And I'm here to tell you, I bet some of it was this. Cliff Kingsbury has a reputation. He doesn't grind players at practice. He's very Sean McVay. J.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer. Does he want to grind at practice? J.J. Watt shows up on Sunday and kicks your arse. He doesn't need to grind at practice. He doesn't want to get hurt at practice. You may have put that one down. Where do my wife and I in the off season? You know, you live in a cold place. You got to have a second home. In Arizona, you don't. So all those little things you write down on a list as we age, you know, when I was 20, professional success was everything. I'm 50. I'm more into my kid's success. Like, pro athletes are the same. KD to Brooklyn, Kawhi to the Clippers, Brady to the Buccaneers, J.J. Watt to Arizona. It may have just been as simple as, I'm married now. The off seasons matter now. Money's good enough. And winning, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I still make the Hall of Fame. And that's okay, too. All right, so I saw this story. Jane Slater is a reporter I trust. She is talking, her sources are telling her, yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show, on how Dak is not budging on his salary demands.
His money was in the ballpark of Russell Wilson / Jared Goff type money. Now he's looking to be paid right behind Patrick Mahomes, a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Dak hasn't done that yet, so they feel like it's been a respectable offer. His camp believes that he needs to bear what the market value is, and they feel like this deal should have gotten done 2 years ago, so your problems with money aren't our problems. It's about respect.
If you trust that report, and I do, is it possible devoted and dependable Dak has become delusional Dak? So let's pretend, we'll play a game here, that quarterbacks were paid in order based on two things. Now, talent's obviously a big deal, but I think it's actually second place to how valuable you are. Because I've seen Bill Belichick give up a lot of talented players. He rarely gives up valuable players. In fact, our sports leagues all have awards called Most Valuable Player. None of them have Most Talented Player. Joy and I have been in this business for 30 years. Companies move on from talented people all the time. Valuable people, they don't move on from valuable people. So if you were paid based on your talent and how valuable you are, to me, there's three tiers. The first tier is four guys. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Josh Allen. And let me describe each. Seattle runs an antiquated offense. Pete Carroll was fired twice and had a losing record in Seattle before Russell Wilson. What is Seattle offensively without Russell Wilson? Tom Brady not only moves your team in the right direction, he gives you Super Bowls at the end. He changed a goofy Buccaneer franchise into a place now, we argue, everybody wants to play. Aaron Rodgers doesn't give you many Super Bowls, but Green Bay has historically been awful when he doesn't play. And then Josh Allen. Josh Allen's their best running back. He's their best running weapon. He's their best throwing weapon on a historically last 20 years in that franchise. They are now a Super Bowl conversation team. The second tier, and I know what you're saying, Patrick Mahomes? Well, Andy Reid has 13 playoff wins without Patrick Mahomes. 2 years ago, they beat the playoff Vikings without Patrick Mahomes and should have beaten the Packers. The Kansas City Chiefs were a good franchise forever without Patrick Mahomes. And with all their weapons today, if Patrick Mahomes was not the Chiefs quarterback, I believe, we saw it with Alex Smith, they'd be a playoff team. So the second tier, Patrick Mahomes is a mega talent, but not quite as valuable as the first four. Deshaun Watson, again, mega talent, but he went 4-12 this year. And oh, by the way, Bill O'Brien won that division with Brock Osweiler. Look it up. I did. I don't remember it, but it happened. Lamar Jackson is damn good. But Baltimore won a lot of games in the Super Bowl without him. And then Jimmy Garoppolo. I know what you're saying. Come on, Colin. Kyle Shanahan is a great coach, has won 25% of his NFL games without Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm sorry, I've hurt your feelings. That's called valuable. Everybody else in the NFL is tier three. Pretty talented, sometimes valuable. Let's remember that in the last 17 starts, Dak Prescott is 6-11. They were 5-5 with Andy Dalton last year. If you count the game he came in initially and led them to a win against the New York Giants, they were behind. Dak got hurt. He came in and won. Dak was 8-8 in 2019, 6-11 his last 17 starts. And in games he started and finished last year, he was 1-3. Andy Dalton, if you count the game he replaced Dak against the Giants, was 5-5. Now, Dak's better than Andy Dalton. I am not in any way insinuating he is not. But if Dak is saying this morning, I'm worth Patrick Mahomes' money, I'm going to struggle with that. And I like Dak, but that's dependable, devoted Dak to delusional Dak. You got to kind of know if you go into contract negotiations, you got to kind of know the temperature in the room. To me, there's four guys that are tier one. They can kind of name their price. And there's another four or five guys, maybe even more talented, but don't quite feel as valuable to the franchise. Garoppolo would be the opposite. I don't think he's a mega talent, but I think he's super valuable to San Francisco. Everybody else is kind of tier three. Obviously, a Dak, maybe a higher tier three, or a Matt Ryan, and, you know, Baker's probably somewhat valuable. But if that's true, if he sees himself as Mahomes' money class, maybe that's why Jerry Jones may franchise him again. That may be the reason.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's rare in professional sports, at least in this country, where somebody who becomes iconic is a late bloomer. Or we don't really know about him early, and all of a sudden we figure out, wow. We talked about LeBron at 16, Bryce Harper at 17, Tiger Woods at 13. That's just kind of the reality of how it works. There are very few late bloomers become a face of the league. Now, you could say, oh, Patrick Mahomes, but all football players go to 3 or 4 years of college. And by the end of his first year, there were rumors he was amazing. And by his second year in the league, he became really, really, really the most talked about quarterback in the NFL, not named Tom Brady or maybe Aaron Rodgers. So Mahomes is not a late bloomer. But it's interesting. Zion Williamson watched him last night again. He's getting better every game. The best team in the NBA so far has been the Utah Jazz, and he was dominant last night again. I would make the argument today that Zion Williamson is the second or third most popular player in the NBA. I think LeBron and Steph Curry go back and forth. I think Steph is very relatable to young kids because he's small like young kids, where LeBron looks just so monstrous and big. I think LeBron and Steph are the two most popular players in the league. I think Zion's already number three. KD and Harden are great, but their personalities are a little odd. Giannis and Kawhi are quiet, not necessarily dynamic personalities. But have you noticed anything? Utah's the number one team in the league. The NBA's not rushing to put them on TV. The NBA didn't rush to put New Orleans on TV when they had Anthony Davis. Is anybody noticing how ESPN and TNT are fighting to get Zion Williamson on television? It reminds me when Tim Tebow was in the NFL, I was told by an executive that Tebow articles on Sunday night after the games were getting 5 and 6 times like the Patriot articles with Brady or the Giant articles with Eli. I think the NBA's found their next face in the league, and I think it's Zion, and I think he's already the third most popular player. I remember a couple years ago, it may have been 5 or 6 years ago, and I've said this on the air with Joy several times, when 60 Minutes came out and said, Giannis is the face of the league. I'm like, I didn't know who he was until like year three in the NBA. Zion has three things that are really, really important. Number one, he played at Duke, and his shoe exploded, and there was controversy around him. So we like knew him as a teenager. I didn't know Giannis till I didn't know Kawhi until he'd been in the league like 3 years. I didn't know Giannis. It's one thing for Bryce Harper, who he's in the minors, and I knew him in high school. It's another thing, like, we didn't talk about Mike Trout, and then he went to the Angels, and he had to be great before we talked about him being great. We talked about Bryce Harper being great in the eight bigs when he was in high school. So Zion played at Duke. That's why I've always defended college basketball. It's a good platform. NBA should use it more. And we knew who he was early. Plus the internet, his dunks. Secondly, is his game is not only dynamic, it doesn't look like anybody else's game. I remember when Magic Johnson came into the NBA. There'd never been a 6'8½ point guard. He didn't even look like other guards. Magic had kind of a funky shot. He didn't shoot like anybody else. He didn't play like anybody else. Zion's game doesn't look like anybody else's game. And number three, his personality. Like Magic, he's likable. He smiles. He wanted to play when his shoe exploded. He wanted to come back to college basketball, but he said, all my agents and stuff said I probably need to go pro. I'd love to come back and play college basketball. I think he's the third most popular guy in the league. We knew him early. His game is crazy and crazy different. And I find the guy incredibly likable. That's not that James Harden isn't likable. He's a little odd. Kawhi is quiet. I mean, Giannis, we didn't kind of figure him out till later. And his game is good, but there's holes in it. And I don't find it terribly dynamic, although there are moments when he makes great plays. But if you look at how hard the NBA is working to get Zion on television, that tells you everything. They're looking at data and they're looking at research, and he is jumping and popping off the charts. They're not doing that with Kawhi. Dame Lillard's great. They're not doing that with the Trailblazers. They didn't do it with AD and the Pelicans. They're not doing it with Ja Morant. They're doing it with historically irrelevant New Orleans and Zion.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I don't go to Facebook, but people that do, they always talk about kind of the Facebook effect, where a lot of affairs start on Facebook, where, you know, guys look up their high school flame or college flame, or women look up their high school flame or college flame. And that's because your memories are greater than reality. There's a reason you dumped him and then married somebody else and had beautiful kids. Is that your memories are much greater than reality. People generally don't remember pain. They often say that's why women have multiple children, because they don't remember how painful sometimes childbirth can be. You don't remember the pain. You remember the good times in relationships too. And so I don't go to Facebook, but that's the effect of it. Now, I was thinking about Dak Prescott, who now wants to be paid like Patrick Mahomes. Let's talk about not the memories. Let's talk about the reality of Dak. These are all facts, not opinions. Last 17 starts, he's 6-11. 14 of his wins, that's a lot of wins, have come against Washington and the Giants rebuilding. 7-2 against one, 7-1 against the other. Last 4 years, majority of his wins against those two crappy teams. And in 2019, another reality, end of the year, to get into the playoffs against New England or Philadelphia, both especially Philadelphia, injury-ravaged teams, he couldn't generate one touchdown drive. More reality, as they become less about Zeke and more about Dak, the Cowboys win less. In fact, if you go back to every year Dak and Zeke have been in the league together, 2016 to 2020, I have all the numbers on the screen. I will not bore the radio audience. But his rushing totals have gone down every year. And as you see, quite obviously, the team gets worse. So the less it's about Zeke and the more it's about Dak, because Zeke now is a pretty average running back and the Cowboys are a pretty average football team. So that's the reality of what we have now with Dak. That's the reality. 6-11 last 17, a majority of his wins against the rebuilding Giants and the rebuilding Washington football team. Couldn't generate a touchdown 2019 end of the year against Philadelphia, New England. And the more they rely on Dak and the less they rely on Zeke, the less they win. Those are not now the Facebook effect. Let's go to the memories. Oh, 13-3 in his rookie season. Well, let's go to that year. Let's go to the 13, because that's where we're like, holy moly, he's good. The Cowboys were number one in rushing percentage, number two in rushing yards a game, number two in rushing touchdowns, and number three in rushing average. This was Zeke's team. Zeke rushed for six, this is a lot of yards. Zeke rushed for 15 touchdowns and 1,600 yards. And if you recall, I remember that rookie year. It was the first time in my life that I talked about an offensive line. Remember that Dallas team? I mean, all those offensive linemen were in their prime. They were all first-round picks. You know, the San Francisco 49ers have all those first-round picks in their defensive line. We talked about it the Super Bowl year. The Cowboys were the opposite. They had all these first-round offensive linemen, and they were all in their prime. They just bowled people over. You couldn't get to Dak. You couldn't stop Zeke. Do you know how many yards 1,600 yards is? 15 touchdowns? Your memory is Dak is 13-3. It was Zeke's team. You couldn't stop them. I remember this Pittsburgh game. You could not stop them. And so I think it's the Facebook effect. I think we're getting a little bit of our memories of early Dak aren't really the reality of early Dak or certainly later Dak. Is that I'm not saying he doesn't have qualities I like and admire. I'm not saying when he wasn't carted off the field, I didn't get emotional. And I'm not saying he's not a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying any of those things. He is a franchise quarterback. He's reliable. He's tough. He had one fluky injury. I mean, he's been good with Jerry Jones. He stood behind him. He's always ready to play. He's got kind of a quality where he can struggle in football games to find a rhythm, but late in games, he's never afraid of the moment. I like that about him. Kirk Cousins is talented, sometimes feels like he shrinks in the moment. I think Dak lacks some certain great talents, but I never think he shrinks in the moment. But I do think we've come to that fork in the road where the memories are fuzzy. We're romanticizing stuff more. You go to a psychologist. If you're ever really going a deep dive with a psychologist, they'll all tell you the same things. We always embellish our childhood. It was either greater or worse than it really was. Most people have sort of a little chaos in childhood, go to school, have friends. It's never as great as we recall. It's probably never as bad as most people recall. We were all goofy. We were all kids. We all cried. We struck out a lot, hit a couple game-winning shots, but we were goofy kids. I think with Dak, we're going a little overboard on the memories, and we need to be more honest about the realities.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So I love stories like this. This is amazing. And I always think, you know, we always talk about joy quarterbacks who have a chip on their shoulder because nobody, you know, thought they were going to be good. Now think about Darius Leonard. So Darius Leonard plays in the shadow of Clemson and South Carolina, and he goes to South Carolina State. So I'm going to ask him in a second, did they even recruit you? So I never saw him play in college. I guarantee you 90% of the players never saw him play in college. He not only goes to the Colts as a rookie and he's good. This is funny. He led the NFL in tackles as a rookie. There's this old term, sleeper. Like a guy's a sleeper. Darius is one of the last sleepers that was literally a star NFL player that like nobody saw play in college. We usually hear about. I remember T.Y. Hilton played, and I remember hearing about T.Y. Hilton. I didn't even hear about Darius Leonard. And he has a new foundation. He is joining us live. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. 4 years, three-time All-Pro. So let me ask you. So did Clemson or South Carolina even recruit you?
Clemson, yes. South Carolina, no.
So did you always have a little chip on your shoulder about that? Did you want to prove him wrong?
Of course, because, you know, my brother went to Clemson and my cousin went to Clemson. So I was thinking, you know, I was going to fall in that same road to go to Clemson. And, you know, me and my brother had the same frame. So, I mean, I don't understand, you know, what was the thing there. And then, so it came down to my very last test score to be qualified to play at the next level. And once I made it, you know, I called them. Hey, you know, I made the score. They said, well, they had no more scholarships. I called every college that, you know, had interest in me. Nobody had scholarships. Nobody wanted me. So I called South Carolina State. I asked them, hey, I made the score. What y'all got? They said, we got you a partial scholarship. So I went up there on a partial scholarship, and the rest is history.
My God. So that's even worse. Both your brothers played at Clemson. God, that's Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. I mean, every weekend I was in Clemson. So I just knew that was the only visit. I mean, the only camp that I went to was Clemson camp. And then luckily, you know, on the way back from Clemson, I went through South Carolina. They had a camp. And, you know, I stopped there for like an hour. And then after that, that was it.
Oh, my God. Isn't that an amazing story? So you go to the NFL, and nobody knows who you are. And then Darius Leonard. Who's Darius? So how many practices did it take before the Colt players were coming up to you and, like, they knew your name, they knew who you were? Like, how long before you're like, okay, I'm going to be good. How long did it take?
Well, you know, I came in with a quad injury. So that first day of practice, I re-injured my quad. So I didn't do anything, all OTAs. And you could tell the looks on these guys' faces like, wow, we just really drafted this guy. He's hurt. I don't know what he's going to bring to the table. And then the first day of training camp, I picked off Andrew Luck. And next thing you knew, everybody's coming up to me, congratulating me, talking about, hey, you're going to be pretty good. And that was it. And then the game that I really think that stood out to everybody was week two against the Washington Redskins, or the Washington football team now. And I ended with 19 tackles, two sacks. And that's when they were like, okay, yeah, okay, now we realize who we have.
19 tackles in an NFL game. That is insane. So now, you know, it's interesting. You had doubters, and now you have Carson Wentz. And Darius, he has doubters. How did Colt players look at a guy that was really good and they really struggled? Because there are a lot of people out there right now that are like, man, you guys won a lot of games with Phillip Rivers. Is the team all in on Carson? How's it feel right now?
Are we all in? You know, everything, you know, we trust and believe in everything Chris Ballard and Coach Frank and Jim Mercy doing all in the front office. And if you get brought into the Colts organization, that means that they believe in you. And if they believe in you, we believe in them, and we're going to stick behind you no matter what. And I do think, you know, I played against Carson in 2018, his first game back from his injury, and he played very well on it when he came back. I haven't seen too much film after that, but he was actually a pretty good quarterback when we played him. So we know what talent talented he is. We know what type of leadership he brings in. So we're definitely looking forward to it. And I just pray that he take every doubter, just like Phillip Rivers did. They doubted Phillip Rivers when he came to the Indianapolis Colts, and he proved them doubters wrong. So I hope that Carson Wentz can come in and prove every doubter wrong, and hopefully at the end of the season when he's holding up that Lombardi trophy, hopefully, he can hopefully get some kind of some kind of good feedback instead of all this negative feedback that he's getting now in the media, which definitely sucks because he's been playing well. He's in the NFL and everybody talk trash. He's playing at the highest level that he can possibly play at. And he gets so much criticism for being an NFL quarterback. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
By the way, Phillip Rivers, I'm not sure Phillip Rivers could outrun my microphone. He's an old man. And he came in last year, and Joy and I were sitting here, and we're like, this guy, we thought he should hang it up. He's not the most athletic guy. The first time you played with him, you know, he doesn't run very well. He's got that crazy sidearm stuff. Were you kind of surprised how effective he was at his age?
The year before last, we played him in week one. So I knew what he was capable of. And my brother played with him my brother got drafted there in 2007. So I watched Phillip for a long time. And then when he got here, you know, everybody was talking down about him, you know, saying he wasn't this, saying he wasn't that. And then you see him in practice and you see him in the games, how he's taking over the whole offense. He's running it. He's talking trash. And he's such a competitor. And I don't think it surprised me because I believed in him since he came from San Diego. But, you know, just having him, the only thing that surprised me was he retired. I really do think that Uncle Phil has some left in the tank, and that was the only surprise to me. But he's been playing well ever since I knew about him.
Yeah. You know, you guys didn't have a preseason last year, obviously the pandemic, but it didn't hurt the team. The team played great. When you look back at the pandemic year and the changes you had to make, and now you're going to have OTAs, I would guess, and you're going to have camp. You know, it's funny. I was never a huge fan of preseason football. I don't think Darius Leonard needs 4 warm-up games. I don't want to see you get hurt. Like, preseason to me is me crossing my fingers that star players don't get hurt. How valuable do you believe, Darius, because you didn't have preseason last year and you were good, this morning, do you think preseason is valuable in the NFL?
It's valuable for rookies, I would think so. Just because of the day they're coming in and they're coming into a new system, and you would hate to see their first game going full speed is a real game that really counts, and they really in complete shock with the lights. So when it comes down to preseason games, I think for rookies, that's the best time for them to come. So now they're getting all the jitters out. Okay, now I'm in the NFL. I'm learning this new system. They're going to build them confidence. But I think that's about it because when it comes down to the vets only play maybe 5 to 10 plays, and then we're standing on the sideline. So I just think it's good for the rookies to learn the system and learn exactly how fast the game changed from college to the NFL level.
You guys, I'm reading stories over the last week, Darius Leonard joining us from the Colts, as good as any linebacker in the NFL, I mean, simply put. 17-game schedule. I don't know. I don't like to – I mean, I don't like leagues when they get greedy. I feel like, God, you guys play them enough. I don't love the extra game, even though Joy and I benefit from it. More football is good for us. As a player in the NFL, what do you think about an extra game? Are you good, bad?
It sucks.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it at all. I mean, we're putting our body on the line for 16 weeks already, and then we're going to add another game that's 9 times out of 10 is not even a meaningful game, and you're putting everything at risk. So I personally don't like it. The other guys voted for it. I think the 16-game season was been good for, 50 years now? So, why change it now? So, I don't like it at all unless they're going to give us another bye week because it's already a long season. So, why add another game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. All right, you have today, Darius Leonard announced the establishment of his Maniac Foundation. And you're obviously a guy that cares about your community. I know Chris Ballard. You're one of the good guys. So what's this foundation about? Tell me.
It's the Maniac Foundation. It's based off, you know, just helping every family and kids in need. We have our three pillars that we definitely want to touch. The first one, our first pillar is, you know, helping families get food on the table for their families. The second pillar, you know, we want to talk about kids, you know, helping kids in the educational programs, try to initiate our first math maniacs, try to get them just enjoying doing schoolwork again, especially in the pandemic where you're sitting on the computer all day, you're not in the classroom, you're not around friends. And then the third one is, you know, just helping them with their fitness. You know, you want to get kids more active now because, you know, a lot of video games and everything, everybody's inside. So we want to try to get kids to kind of get active again. making sure that they know that there's so many people that's out there that's going to help them on their way, and they're not alone. So just definitely trying to find a way to get kids more involved, get, you know, help families out that's in need, and, you know, just trying to be a lending hand, a hand to people in need.
By the way, this could be a dumb question, so don't make fun of me. But you hit hard. You hit hard. Are you 235, about 230? How much you weigh?
I probably finished the season probably around 215.
Ooh. You hit hard. if you ever hit a guy and you hear him wince. Like after you hit a guy, you've sacked Ryan Tannehill a lot. When you hit Tannehill, does he ever talk to you and say, can you slow down a little?
No, because, you know, when I tackle quarterbacks, you know, that now it's time to, you know, it's time to celebrate. It's time to, you know, it's time to have fun. So I don't even give them an opportunity to really say too much. I think the only person that I ever hit and he talked trash to me was the old man, Frank Gore. Frank Gore talked trash the whole entire game, which makes the game so much fun. That's the only guy that I really feel like that talk trash when you hit him, because, you know, for him to be his age, he still runs the ball very, very well. He runs hard. He runs behind his pads. And so he has the right to talk trash whenever you do hit him, because he done accomplished so much in his career.
Can you imagine talking trash to Darius Leonard and you know he's going to tackle you? I would not recommend that for anybody. Hey, good luck to you and the Colts. You're a credit to the game. You're a good dude. And I love having you on again.